you're here. Fellowship sweeter, knowing you're near.
Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Monday, November 14th, 2016. While listening, friend, please stay with me for this entire broadcast as I try to recap on a scale of 1 to 10 our experience at the Creation Museum, the Ark Encounter, the great worship service at the Florence Baptist Church in Northern Kentucky, testimony and worships on our deluxe motor coach, the fellowship, the fun, the food. All the experiences put together on a scale of 1 to 10 was a 15. God showed up in a variety of ways and orchestrated our weekend in such a way that there's so many blessings. Now I'm going to try to fit a 43-minute message that we heard yesterday on today and tomorrow's edition of Mark and Friends. And so I will be preempting a little of SRN news. But before I introduce Pastor Dr. Corey Abney, let me say thank you, God, for the 55 passengers and our bus driver, Rick, for making this an incredible weekend. I'll recap some more of this tomorrow, but as we traveled to the Creation Museum, Fairy Fu, Dean Davis Smith, Phil Yoder, and Cindy Wendell all shared powerful testimonies, transformational works that God has done in their lives, and really gelled us together as a group as we were in awe in the various ways that God drew each one of these friends into that personal relationship with Him. Oh, so many things made the weekend special, and we certainly enjoyed the Creation Museum our first day. But to have you feel a part of things, we attended the Florence Baptist Church in Northern Kentucky. Dr. Corey Abney serves as their lead pastor, and his vision is to communicate the gospel, rallying the community together, spurring growth, desiring to have a local and international mission that positively encourages the community to be engaged. And engage is what he had our group do. As we attended, it was Orphan Sunday, and they have a practice called Hunger Week, and you'll hear about that. It's where Pastor Corey and the leadership team encourage gospel engagement through sacrificial giving and through change in the congregation's daily living. But as you hear the message, I know you'll be blessed by what's shared and said as we learn we all are orphans, but have been adopted and grafted into God's family as we become followers of Jesus, and that we get to call God Abba, Father, Daddy, that intimate relationship as He draws us to Himself. So please stay with me for today's edition of Mark and Friends and tune in again at this time tomorrow, as I'll be breaking Dr. Abney's message, as preached yesterday at the Florence Baptist Church, into today and tomorrow's edition of Mark and Friends. Here's Dr. Corey Abney of the Florence Baptist Church in Northern Kentucky.
Currently, there are over 150 million orphans worldwide. Just today, over 5,000 children will become orphans, either through abandonment, neglect, or some type of tragedy. We know that 10 to 15% of orphans commit suicide before the age of 18. 60% of girls engage in prostitution, and 70% of boys participate in criminal acts. We see culturally and globally an epidemic with children who are fatherless, who grow up without the loving kindness of a mother or a father in the home. And the presence and pervasiveness of fatherless children is nothing new. This is not something that surfaced just in the past few hundred years. No, we know from our study of history and from our study of the Bible that orphans have been among us for a long, long time. Moreover, we know that it's not just a cultural issue or a social issue. I want to remind us today that the issue of orphan care and adoption, these issues are spiritual issues. And what we see in Scripture is that our commitment to address an epidemic of fatherless children is not something that's just a political exercise, not just something that's a ministerial preference, not just something that is programmatic. No, it is a gospel mandate. Because reading through both the Old and New Testaments, we see our God focused on helping those who are orphaned and abandoned. This is Orphan Sunday. An emphasis throughout the world on orphan care and adoption. And for us, it is the first day of what we call Hunger Week. A week that we set aside to focus on orphan care, adoption, foster care, but more importantly, gospel engagement through sacrificial giving and through a change in our daily living. This week of Hunger Week and this emphasis on adoption and orphan care and foster care is something that's so important to me because, again, we see it coming straight out of the pages of Scripture. Again, this is not like, you know, just something that's a short-term ministry focus. This isn't just a program that we're starting today and will wind down a few years from now. No, this is a gospel mandate going all the way back to the days of Israel. Listen to Psalm 68 in verse 5. It says, "Father of the fatherless and protector of the widows is God in his holy habitation." I mean, we're going back now thousands of years. What does the Scripture say? That our God is a father to the fatherless and a protector of widows. Isaiah 1 verse 17 says, "Learn to do good, seek justice, correct oppression, bring justice to the fatherless and plead the widow's cause." You see, the fatherless, the orphan, has always been on the heart of our God. And the privilege that we have collectively to run to the fatherless, to run to the orphan, to run to those who are the least of these is one of the most unique privileges we have. And therefore, we're going to continue to be a fellowship that's focused on reaching the least of these. And we're going to continue to focus on getting the gospel to people who desperately need it. People, children, who don't know that there is a Father in heaven who loves them and who cares for them. People who have been abandoned or abused or neglected, who are keenly unaware of the fact that our God is one who shows great unconditional love and acceptance to all who will call upon Him for salvation. And we, more than anyone else in the world, listen to me. More than any other organization, more than any other government, we as Christ followers, as the bride of Christ, as members of the Church of Jesus Christ, listen to me, we more than anyone else understand the need that is before us because we at one time were orphans ourselves, but have now been adopted by our Heavenly Father into the family of faith. Every single one of us in this room who know Jesus Christ as Savior know the power and the privilege of adoption because we've been adopted. We who were orphaned by our sin, we who lived a life of rebellion and selfishness, God, by His own initiative and on account of His own mercy, has sent His Son into this world to redeem us, to save us, to welcome us, and to grant to us a sonship whereby we know our God, not just as the one true and living God, but as our Father. Those of us who were once orphans now know the love of Almighty God. So this issue of orphan care and the issue of adoption and foster care, of caring for the least of these, comes right out of the pages of Scripture and right out of our own gospel experience because we know firsthand what it means to be lost and then to be found. We know what it means to be in a state of utter rebellion and then to be reclaimed by the grace and the mercy of God. We know what it means to be without hope and then to have now the hope that extends beyond the grave. And so I want to show you from the New Testament this morning why adoption and orphan care is so important to me, to our fellowship, and I hope to you, and why Hunger Week is such an important week in the life of our church. If you have a copy of God's Word, turn with me to Romans chapter 8. We'll look at verses 12 to 17. This is a letter written by a man named Paul. Paul, at one point in time in his life, was a man who rebelled against God. He hated the church. He hated Christians. He actually had a hand in bringing some Christ followers to justice and presiding over their deaths. I mean, this was a guy who was like hardcore going against religion, Christianity as you and I know it. And then his life changed. God brought him to a place where he saw that there was no hope in how he was living and what he was trusting in. There was no hope. And therefore, this man named Paul came to salvation. He turned from his sin. He asked for forgiveness for all that he had done. He committed his life to Christ, and he became one of the most important Christ followers who's ever lived. Jesus radically saved him out of his sin and out of his rebellion. And then Paul became a leader in the church. He became really a missionary and a church planter. And what we're reading today is a response to those church planting efforts. Paul's writing back now to some Christians that he dearly loved. And he's talking about the difference between living a life of sin, living a life of disobedience, living a life of rebellion, and living a life of obedience, a life of blessing. And he's talking about this dichotomy between the flesh and the spirit. He's talking about the fact that Christ followers have the Holy Spirit living within them at the moment of salvation. We know that God fills all of his children with his Holy Spirit. He's talking about walking in the Spirit and living in the Spirit and turning away from the power of the flesh. And in this description, he says some things that are so important for you and I to understand about the nature of our salvation, about the role of adoption. All right, let's pick it up in verse 12. Here's what he says. So then, brothers, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the Spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. Now go back to verse 12 and notice the turn in Paul's letter here. He's writing to believers. He's writing to Christ followers. And he addresses them back in verse 12 there as brothers. He says, so then, brothers. Brothers, sisters, fellow Christ followers, notice how Paul refers to the family of faith. He doesn't refer to the family of faith as like Mr., Mrs., friend. No, it's brothers, family. Now, this term won't mean quite as much to us because we have in kind of our Christianese, you know, that language that church people use, Christianese. In our Christianese, we have brother in our language. You know, hey, brother so-and-so, how you doing, brother? You know, we use this term. That's a positive way. We also use it in ways where I remember growing up, you know, I'd see a pretty girl and I'd pursue her and I'd hear her say this to me, I love you like a brother. Hey guys, those of you who are single today, you're looking for Mrs. Wright. If she ever says that girl you're pursuing, she loves you like a brother, just give it up, bro. Just give it up. That's not good. So we use this word, you know, I love you like a brother. Hey brother, how you doing? Okay, but in Paul's context, let me remind you about the significance of him saying, so then brothers, okay? He's writing to an audience where he had people under his teaching who would have been there when this letter was read to the fellowship. Some came out of a Jewish background, but had come to see that Jesus is the Christ. Some came out of a Gentile background who came to see that Jesus is the Christ. And so you had like people under one roof, so to speak, who were from different backgrounds and some of whom were raised to hate each other. I mean, from day one, They were raised to hate this other people group. And now they're under one roof, under one gospel, under one Lord and one Savior. And Paul refers to all of them as brothers, sisters, family. I mean, that is so significant. Because in the gospel of Jesus Christ, we see God working in such a way that He brings spiritual orphans together under the same family, the same Lord, the same salvation, so that those who were once enemies of God and even enemies of each other are now more than just friends. They are family. Hey, look around the room today. You've got a lot more family members than you thought. Yeah. Isn't it true that when it comes to blood relatives, you could be closer to someone who's not a blood relative, but who is a brother or sister in Christ than someone who doesn't know Jesus, but is a blood relative? Isn't it true that in Christ, what we have as a part of Florence Baptist Church, one church, two campuses, two locations, we have one gospel, one fellowship, and we are one family. We have the same values. We believe that Jesus is the Christ. We believe that God is our Father. We believe the Holy Spirit lives within us. We believe the Bible is the Word of God. And we believe that salvation in Jesus is the only hope for the world. And so we come together every week, people of different personalities, people with different demographics, people with different backgrounds, people with different education, people with different life experiences, people with different upbringings. We come together under one name, under one banner, under one gospel, as one family, because we've all been adopted by God our Father. And we have unity, and we have peace, and we have joy in making a difference in this world, so that every time we serve, every time we give, every time we seek to carry out the Great Commission, the unbelieving world sees a group of people that on the outside might look a little bit mismatched, because we don't look the same, and we don't have the same backgrounds, and we don't have the same personalities, but yet we are functioning in such a way as the body of Christ, that each of us is carrying out God's will in the world. And so what is the unbelieving world see? We hope and we pray they see beyond us to a radical gospel power that brings all of these goofballs in here together to do something great. Then this is the power of the gospel. So Paul starts out, brothers. You're not just aliens anymore, not strangers anymore, not enemies anymore, not just friends anymore. You're family. Brothers. We are not debtors to the flesh. To live according to the flesh, for if we live according to the flesh, we will die. But if by the Spirit we're putting to death the deeds of the flesh, we will live. And then he says, verse 14, look at this again. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. We know that at the moment of our salvation, again, the Holy Spirit indwells every Christ follower, and we walk by the power of God's Spirit. In other words, we have the same DNA. It's a spiritual DNA. Listen, we have the Spirit of God within us. We are all children of God, sons and daughters of God. So we're growing together. We're maturing together. We're looking more like Christ with every passing week, month, and year. And of course, we don't look like each other physically, but we should look like each other spiritually. We become generous and sacrificial and joyous and steadfast, confident in God and His Word and in His will. Loving, forgiving. There are these qualities growing within us where we're maturing into Christ's likeness. And so all these different people from different backgrounds and personalities and all the different demographics and all the rest, guess what? We're coming together. We're growing together and we're moving together towards something called the new heavens and the new earth. And so there's this movement, this great gospel movement among us where we now have the same DNA. We're moving toward the same end. We have the same goal. We have the same Savior. We have the same Father. Verse 15 says this, for you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons. Whereby, look at verse 15 again, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Now, the New Testament is written in Greek. That's the original language in which the New Testament was written. But this word Abba was Aramaic. It's an Aramaic term for father. It's a very endearing term. And the word cry there is used elsewhere in the New Testament in terms of crying out. Here's what Paul is saying. We have the Spirit. We're growing together. We have the same DNA. Every Christ follower has the same DNA. We're moving toward the same end. We have the same God. We have the same Father because we have a spirit of adoption. All of those who at one point in time were spiritual orphans, God brought us home. And He is now our Father. And there's this spirit within us whereby we cry out, Abba, Father. Man, has this been lost on you, the significance of calling God your Father? I'm talking about the sovereign maker of heaven and earth. I'm talking about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I'm talking about the God who parted the Red Sea, who protected Daniel and the Hebrew children, the God who established the throne of David. I'm talking about the God who sent His Son into this world to die for your sin and who raised Him from the dead. Do you understand this God is your Father? Father! Listen, I'm so privileged in my life to have four people call me Father, and it is a privilege. So much so that if any of you called me Dad, it would just be really weird. I mean, can you imagine walking down the hallway, somebody comes up, how you doing, Dad? I don't know you. That's weird. We may have brother as a term that we say to friends and companions, but you would never mistakenly call someone father who's not your father. You see, that's such a unique word. It's such a significant word. And here Paul is giving emphasis that you and I have the spirit of adoption whereby we know God as our Father. This is so significant. He goes on to say in verse 16 that the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. There's this verification, God convicting us of sin, convicting us of righteousness, moving us toward generosity, moving us toward kindness, moving us toward forgiveness, moving us toward missional living. And there's this, the Spirit's within us. He's working within us. That's the confirmation that God is our Father. There's this wrestling within us between the flesh and the Spirit, and God's moving us. He's conforming us. And so we have this in common. This is the DNA that we share. And this spirit of adoption whereby we cry out, Abba, Father, is bearing witness that we are the children of God. And then verse 17, Paul says, and if we are children, then we are also heirs. And if we're heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, then that is our hope. Listen, we're not just sons and daughters. Check this out. We're also heirs of a great inheritance. In other words, everything that Jesus Christ has in heaven is also yours and mine. Now, if it were not enough that God is your Father, just let that sink in. Christ is your brother. His righteousness covers you. And the sonship that Christ knows is the sonship and the daughtership that you can know through Him as well. And the inheritance awaiting for you and me is an inheritance of a new heaven and a new earth. Man, that is our hope. That is what we long for. We're crying out now, Abba, Father. God is our Father, Christ, our brother. And notice Paul says He's not just God that is our Father, Christ also our brother. We are not just sons and daughters. We are also heirs. We have a great inheritance. Now listen, I'm not talking about some trust fund kid out on the West Coast here. I'm not talking about you think of, an inheritance. I'm not talking about some old dusty furniture you get from your grandparents. I'm talking about an inheritance that is the new heaven and the new earth. I'm talking about hope beyond the grave. We believe that at the return of Jesus, every Christ follower, either those on the earth at His return or those who have already died and gone to be with Him in spirit, we will experience a bodily resurrection where we receive a glorified body without sin, without any disease, without any potential for death, and we will have a glorified body, and there we will worship King Jesus as our brother under the love of our Father. This is our hope. Now, I'm looking forward to that day. How about you?
Amen and amen. I'm certainly looking forward to that day, too. You're hearing a message as preached yesterday by Dr. Corey Abney of the Florence Baptist Church in Northern Kentucky. As many of you may know, Great News Radio hosted a busload, 55 passengers, and Rick, our bus driver, went to the Creation Museum, attended yesterday's worship service at the Florence Baptist Church, and then enjoyed four or so hours at the Ark Encounter. And as mentioned at the beginning of this broadcast, on a scale of 1 to 10, it was a 15. I'll recap a little more of our experience tomorrow on the Tuesday edition of Ark and Friends and finish up this message by Dr. Corey Abney as he really encourages us to understand God as our Father, our Daddy, that intimate relationship we can have as we surrender and follow the Lord Jesus Christ with the recognition that we are no longer orphans, that we've been adopted into the family of God. Oh, it's a great message, and if you missed a portion of it, it is archived at our website, greatnewsradio.org, and click on the archived programs link. Oh, dear one, recognize you are beloved of God, and you no longer have to be orphans, for as you ask Jesus into your heart, you are adopted into God's family. And how comforting this knowledge is that God loves us and provides for us and cares for us and wants to work in and through you this very day. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you and have a great day and night.